Miamians living in District 5, which covers downtown, parts of Brickell, Little Havana, and also parts of Miami Beach, will vote for their next commissioner on June 19th. The candidates are newcomer Eileen Higgins, who took the most votes in the May special election, and Zoraida Barrero, wife of the outgoing commissioner Bruno Barrero. We spoke with candidate Eileen Higgins last week, and now you'll hear from candidate Zoraida Barrero. This interview was recorded without editing her responses in equal length to make it fair to both candidates. I began by asking her why she wants to be District 5 commissioner.
I'm running because I have been part of this community for over 30 years of District 5, work-wise and personally. And I identify with a lot of the people in the community. I'm an immigrant. I'm a mother. I own my own business in the community. So both personally and professionally, I have to juggle and survive within the county. And there's a lot. I ran last year for City of Miami Commission, which was an exciting time because it exposed me to all the needs of the community. Unfortunately, that race, there were seven candidates, and I came in on third place, so obviously didn't make it. But if one thing was solidified with that race was that I wanted to get involved and be a part of the solution.
I'd imagine one of the tricks when you are running and you have a family member,
right,
spouse or family member who's already in that seat, that you then have to distinguish yourself. So I'm wondering, who is Zoraida Barrero? What are your policies? How do they differ? Or are they the same as your husband's?
Well, I'm my own person. I have to say, though, I'm very proud of my husband, and his commitment to public service has been amazing. That has, of course, had a little bit of influence on me because I've been very exposed to the community and the needs of the community. I am my own person. I am a professional. I've been part of the fabric of the community for many years. And I think as when you run to be an elected official, you are going to be the voice of the residents of the district that you're representing. My experience through, like I said, being an immigrant, studying, paying my way through school, I mean, identify with so many people in the district that I know I'm going to be able to make decisions.
Would you say there are any policies or any things that you differ very differently from your husband that you might go a different direction?
Well, I think as a commissioner, I will look at every situation and give it my personal view and review. I'm not here to review every single thing that my husband has voted on. That's a waste of time. For me, I have, like I said, I come from a business perspective. I'm very much about being fiscally responsible. So every decision, every issue that comes up, I will, of course, review it and make my own decision on.
You finished second in the May election, just 222 votes behind Eileen Higgins.
Right.
What do you see as your greatest challenge before this June 19th election?
Well, I think the greatest challenge is, you know, getting out the vote. A lot of people don't even realize that there's a second election on June 19th. I, from day one, ran a campaign of going to the voters, knocking on doors, reaching out to the voters. Unfortunately, it was a very, very nasty campaign. And the more that it became negative, the more I worked hard to get my message across straight to the voters. Now at this point is obviously people rejected that dirty campaign because here I am. I'm very excited about that, and I'm just making sure that, you know, getting the support of the community.
Now, you've raised more money than Higgins, but as we've seen, money doesn't guarantee victory. But
how do you
leverage the support that you've gotten and those campaign funds to win over those extra voters? Again, this could be a very tight race.
Right. Well, it's just getting you raise money to get your message across. So, of course, we've been advertising, we've been sending mailers, we've been, you know, every route that we can to make sure that people know that there's a race and to ask them for their vote.
And you talked about that Miami District 3 race, the city race last year, came in third. Joe Carollo won. But what did you learn from the experience that you're bringing now?
Well, you can't take anything for granted. My main thing during that race was the need of the community. It's amazing when you knock on somebody's door. It's not the same as, yeah, we have a problem with transportation and seeing it front and center. Oh, we have problems with housing, that going into someone's home and seeing the damage, how damaged it is, or it has termites, it has this. There's mold. Obviously, in our community, especially this district, Little Havana has a major crisis going on when it comes to affordable housing. There's a lot, a large community of seniors that are choosing either to eat or to pay their rent because they haven't been accepted into any, gotten off one, those waiting lists that are eternal. It's shameful. It's shameful that this is happening. So we need to do better. We need to increase the number of affordable housing units that we have, not only for the seniors, but there's a lot of families that need workforce housing project and funding so that they are able to survive in our community.
You talk about transportation, big issue in Miami-Dade County. Transit and public transportation, it's one of those things that's hotly debated. Mm-hmm. We heard from not too long ago the Transit Alliance. They're working on a campaign right now to try to bring more awareness to other options. That's an advocacy group trying to improve public transit. They said Miami's struggling in many factors, including reliability of services and bus routes. What are your priorities in trying to solve this problem? And we do have a SMART plan, but what do we do moving forward?
Well, I think it's important. Obviously, the SMART plan is very important because this is what we want, right? We want connectivity to all the corners of the county. And it will be ideal to have a train that goes everywhere. But realistically, funding is not there for all these projects. But we need to focus on the long-term fixes that will get us to where we need to be.
All right, so let's look at train. You said that realistically, mm-hmm. money's not there. So right. You're saying there's no chance for rail?
Oh, no. Of course there is. But we need to plan for it correctly. And, a lot of these corridors may not need rail. So we need to study. There's the studies that are going on that are going to decide or are going to recommend what is the best use and what is the best solution for each area of town. Because remember, when we talk about public transportation, the main thing is density, right? If there's a neighborhood that doesn't have that many residents or that the zoning code only allows for a certain amount of floors per building, that neighborhood might not necessarily have the density that we need to qualify. Because remember, we're going to need federal dollars for these things. And to get money from the federal government to be able to fix and connect some of these areas.
What are you hearing from people when you go out there and talk to voters? What are their complaints?
Well, listen, obviously, traffic is horrendous, but public transportation, District 5 that has Little Havana, that has South Beach, that are very dependent on public transportation, are complaining about their buses. And the buses is the only thing we have right now. And in order to fix the bigger problems, they're making cuts and stuff with the lines that are affecting what we actually have now. The buses are not clean. They're not running correctly. The only way to incentivize people to use public transportation is to make it more attractive, to make it more efficient, more dependable. And so how are we supposed to be fixing the bigger problems where we're, making...
One of the things that the Transit Alliance were saying is that you tend to see when ridership goes down, which it has been.
It has.
They tend to cut routes. They tend to cut services.
Right.
And they're saying, the Alliance is saying, no, improve them, increase them.
Of course.
So, is it a matter of making, there's already works in the works to replace buses and rail, some of the trains, the cars. Mm-hmm. Is it about having more routes or hiring more bus drivers? I mean, what is it you would do? Do you want to see?
Well, obviously, the routes need to be there. Sometimes they don't even have the line anymore on the weekends because it's not low ridership. But people need to start using them on the weekend and get off their cars. So I think we need to work and see what the community really needs. The community that is dependent on public transportation needs those buses to keep going, to come more regularly. Unfortunately, some people get, if there's an accident, people are sitting there or standing there because in a lot of the places, there's not even a bus shelter that they could sit down or wait for the bus. So we need to make things easier for the community with improving, and it could be simple fixes like more bus shelters, more coverage, the cleaner buses. I mean, that's a. It doesn't take any more money to actually buy new buses, but keep them clean, and things like that will help. Obviously, now we have the trolleys, which are being run by the cities, which are great. However, in a lot of occasions where the trolleys run, the lines are cut off, and people are being inconvenienced to walk a certain amount of blocks this way or that way to get, you know, the trolleys, which is fine maybe for you and me, but we have to keep in mind who's using the system. The elderly have a lot of difficulty actually getting to and making those 3-4 extra blocks to get to the trolley. So we need to keep all that in mind when deciding what to do, what to cut, and who it's going to affect.
We're talking with Zoraida Barrero. She's one of the two candidates in the special election District 5 that is coming up June 19th. Her opponent is Eileen Higgins. Zoraida Barrero, of course, wife of the outgoing Commissioner Bruno Barrero. Again, that election is June 19th. Let's move to another issue. Flooding. Sea level rise and flooding, and it's something that we see a lot of here, not just in Miami Beach. We're starting to see more inland flooding. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see coastal cities experiencing this up and down Florida, really, as the water tables are rising. What role does the county play? There is a resiliency officer, but what more can Miami-Dade do in preparing? And then how do you tell people, you know, what we're doing to try to fix this problem?
Right. And I think education is key, obviously. I think we are aware of the problem that it's getting worse. Last year, the flooding here, even in the city of Miami, was horrible. And the residents, the voters, voted for the bond issue to help tackle it. So, I mean, I think we're heading in the right direction, but education is key. I was very encouraged to see City of Miami is creating an app. They're going through the process to create an app to keep residents, anyone who wants to sign up, notified and alerted when flooding will happen, what areas are going to happen, and diverting. These roads are going to be closed, so use the other route. And that's exciting that it's happening in soon, because I think that's going to be key. Also, the building codes. We need to work on better building codes. So going forward, you know, our homes are a little more elevated, so we don't have to go through, you know, the damage that comes when we go through the...
You know, all of this, of course, costs money.
Uh-huh.
So how do we finance this flooding infrastructure? We see what Miami Beach is doing. This, of course, is, you know, part of that area is in the district. You know, are we asking voters pay more taxes because we're going to maybe have to raise roads or build a pump system, or we're going to have to do something?
Right.
Because we saw it during the hurricane last year. A lot of downtown was underwater.
Right.
So what, I mean,
right.
How do we pay for it?
Well, we have to be more efficient with our money. Obviously, you know, the bond issue passed. So City of Miami is working on sea level rise issues and helping. But, you know, whatever it is that we need to do, we need to focus on getting the money. A lot of times I think when it comes to the budget, we need to be more efficient to make sure the money's there.
So before even thinking of taxes, you're looking...
I think efficiency is key. I think we need to be efficient in every single step of the county.
I know it's a tough one for people to say, but taxes at some point, I mean, we need to build infrastructure. We need to replace roads. We need to do a lot of things. Is that just a bad word people don't like to say?
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are struggling. This district, the funny thing about this district, it has the richest people in Miami, and it has the poorest people in Miami. And then, of course, the middle of the road that have their homes that are struggling. So, of course, taxes are a big deal for everybody. I think people would maybe not be as hesitant to pay more taxes if they saw the results, where it was going to, that it's getting what they need done. But I think, and that their government is working as efficiently as possible to get all the needs of the community met.
Let's move to another big issue here, of course, affordable housing. Because as you said, we have some of the wealthiest people here, but we have a lot of people just, you know, they're spending 40-45% of their income
on
housing. It's the challenge that Miami faces. We have this massive growth. According to U.S. Census Bureau data, though, Miamians spend a larger percentage of their income on housing than any other major city. What can you do to fix that?
Well, unfortunately, the prices of the properties keep coming up. I think working with the affordable that which we discussed is key for some parts of the community, and you know, and just making opportunities available for and incentivizing. You know, there's a lot of builders that are working on projects. We need to incentivize those builders to add a certain amount of units.
So how do you do that? Okay, that's also one of the arguments, but at the same time, they're looking at that and saying, well, but bottom line,
no,
the dollars.
Of course, it has to be incentivized through financially and credits. Also, you know, right now, the county itself has a lot of property. You know, some of these affordable housing units or buildings are in places that it has a lot of parking. We need to look at all those sites and see how they could be maximized and work within that, which we already own, to incentivize the builders to build more housing there.
It was 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago, Miami-Dade County created the Affordable Housing Trust Fund, and that was to help subsidize affordable housing. A decade later, there's very little money in it. It hasn't really been, nothing's really happened with it. How has this county government proved that it can or really wants to solve this problem?
Well, the problem is getting worse, obviously, and we need to move forward and we need to make sure that the funds are there. And, you know, if we need to tap into the general fund dollars to do it, I think that's definitely one of the bigger issues that we have in the county. And let's see what we can do to help.
One thing, too, this really down your alley. I mean, you run a healthcare company in Little Havana for a number of years now, focused on affordable care for seniors. As a District 5 commissioner, I mean, how do you prioritize funding? Also, the fact that we just found out that the new law in Florida says all senior homes, nursing homes must have generators that can go for so many days after a storm if power goes out. But I mean, for you, how do you prioritize funding and make sure that these centers have what's necessary to protect seniors?
Well, the thing that happened last year with the hurricane, we learned a big lesson. We are not ready. We weren't ready, and we need to get ready. We need to do whatever must be done to get ready. And generators are life-saving, so we need to, as a community, make sure that that's addressed. And, you know,
should that be up to the nursing homes, or should governments, county government, city government, the state pay for that?
Well, the ones that are privately owned, have to provide their own generators and provide for that, of course, make arrangements. Now, the thing is, remember, there's a lot of housing units, and those seniors need the generators. So the county is responsible for that. We saw it. Unfortunately, we saw it firsthand in many of the buildings that either the generators weren't working or they were working, but they were, you know, really old, and the gas was affecting some of the residents. So when it comes to the seniors, we need to do everything to protect them.
Let me finish with this. What is your vision for District 5 and in Miami-Dade County as a whole for the next 5-10 years? I mean, how do you achieve that vision? What do you want?
Well, District 5 is an incredible space. It's in the heart of the city. Down that we have so many areas which are exciting, Little Havana, downtown, the beach. We need to make sure that we work to make things better. There's a lot of progress going on. A lot of people are staying behind. We need to take into consideration all the different groups, all the different needs of the community, and whatever decision as a commissioner, make sure that they're all these needs are taken into account moving forward. I obviously, we need to fix the traffic problems that we're having. Obviously, with public transportation, we need to improve the housing crisis that we're having. We need to have more units. You know, even within our district, even the beaches. The beaches are one of our most important, the biggest park that we have. One of the most important things that we have in our city that attracts the tourists, that brings economic growth and tourist dollars in. We need to have a healthy beach.
It's a very diverse district, as you said. I mean, you have parts of Brickell, the beach, Little Havana.
Right.
So, I mean, and downtown. It's a very diverse, you know, different goals for different people.
Right, right. And I think, like I said, we need to, every decision that is made, we need to have the everyone educated on it, everybody on board, even with feedback. Sometimes people are upset because they weren't counted with, or they, you know, the decisions are made that, hey, what about me? You know, like when the route is cut, hey, what about me? I'm a senior. Now I have to walk 3-4 blocks. You know, so we need to take all this into account moving forward, any decision that is made, so that the district thrives. Because like you know, obviously we're one district within the county, but this particular district is very diverse, very needy, very, you know, very exciting at the same time.